Welcome to Talkback Audio. Thank you for joining us this evening. My name's Gloria, and I'm your host for this evening's show. We are back here with Talkback Audio version, and we've been on a hiatus for just a bit because we have actually been taping live shows here from the city of Cleveland, and we've had some fantastic guests on. The response has been tremendous, and we certainly will be starting a new lineup for Talkback Live starting in the month of February for the new year. It's a brand new year. Welcome again to Talkback Audio. Tonight we're going to talk about the Broadway scene and how exciting it has become again. I was actually very, very honored to be able to visit the city of New York just last weekend, on the weekend of January the 7th. Traveled to New York, got a chance to see a Broadway production, very, very good production called Caroline or Change, a musical, and it did very, very well. As a matter of fact, it did end on that weekend. I think Sunday was the last performance for that production, but it was a great show, and I must tell you all about it. So grab a cup of coffee, relax, join me as we explore bustling Broadway in New York City. Also on today's show, we are going to talk about none other than actor extraordinary Sidney Poitier, and we're going to examine his life. He was certainly known, and he got his start on Broadway, so we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about New York City, how exciting it was to be there. By the way, COVID was, everyone knows the story of COVID and how it seems to just be increasing rapidly, and certainly in the city of New York. Everywhere that we went, we had to show ID and a card showing that we were vaccinated. They were very, very adamant about it. We couldn't go in any restaurants. We could not even enter into the theater unless we showed proof that we were vaccinated and show our ID. Yeah, so that's the way it was there. Yeah, I was able to visit Caroline or Change New York City, see the production Caroline or Change, Studio 54, and it was an exciting, exciting musical. The lyrics were written by Tony Kushner, music by Janine Tesori, and it featured London's very own Sharon DeClarke as Caroline. Exciting production. I think it was about maybe 2 hours long. Never boring. The cast was phenomenal, and we really enjoyed that production. Hadn't been to New York City in a while. It had been many, many years. As a matter of fact, the last time I was in New York, I was able to see a production called Rent. Many of you may be familiar with that production. All you theater goers out there, you may be familiar with Rent, and which, by the way, is still playing in many theaters across the country. But that was many, many years ago. So I got an opportunity to visit New York City again, start the new year off right. And it was an exciting time. New York is bustling. The theater district is bustling. People are going to see productions back again. Broadway is back, even with the pandemic still in full force. It is back. Matter of fact, there were quite a few productions that are on Broadway right now. I mentioned Caroline and Change, and also the Lion King on Broadway, back on Broadway. It actually ends January 30th. Hamilton, back on Broadway. Moulin Rouge, the musical, back on Broadway. That actually ends January 30th. And then we also had The Phantom of the Opera. I notice back on Broadway. That production actually ends January 31st. So if you're a theater lover and you love to visit Broadway, I actually recommend that you get it in, because a lot of these will be ending the end of January. Wicked, by the way, on Broadway. That production does end, however, January 30th. To Kill a Mockingbird at the Schubert Theater on Broadway. That production has ended. And I'll tell you, a production that's caught the eye and got many accolades on Broadway this year is Tina Turner musical, the Tina Turner musical. That's on Broadway. Check it out. That will end, however, on January the 30th. So be sure and check those productions out. I'll tell you, Broadway's back. It's exciting. It's thrilling to be able to go see a Broadway production. I highly recommend, if you live in the city of New York and you're listening, you already know, but maybe you haven't, there are some shows that you haven't caught and you'd like to catch. So I highly recommend that you go ahead and check it out. But Caroline or Change was just an exciting production. It was held in the Roundabout Theater, which is an old theater. I mean, that theater's been around since 1965, and they've produced many revivals there. By the way, Caroline or Change is a revival production. It's not new to the Broadway scene, not at all. But Caroline or Change was one of those pieces of art that increases in importance and relevance as time goes by. Just sit there and watch the musical. You get enthralled with the show. And the show really is about how we all can exist together, come together, and how we should share and acknowledge our privilege, not avoid it, in order to exist in a greater space. So it's an exciting production. It's over now. Who knows? It's probably going to be traveling to other major metropolitan cities like Washington, D.C. or Philadelphia. But I would recommend check it out because you will not be disappointed. Sharon DeClark is on the American stage. She's from London, England, and she was phenomenal. She was absolutely phenomenal. I highly recommend checking out. If it comes to your city, go and see it because you will not be disappointed. I must share, there is a two-time Pulitzer winner. Her name is Lynn Nottage, and she has like three productions that she has put on Broadway. I mean, like recently, Clyde, which is a short production, just ended, by the way, on Broadway. And she had much success with that. Her play it's about a struggling blue collar. It's about struggling blue collar workers and how they work together in this small shop, this small cafe. And it talks about how they have to come to grips with each other's own personality. And they're all rehabilitated, so to speak, folks who come from normal lives, but they happen to all have been incarcerated, and they come together here in this sandwich shop, and they create a lot of flavor, and they create a lot of interaction, and it makes you think about the things that they are talking about. Lynn Nottage has just been experiencing so much success. As I said, she's a two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright, and she has just been experiencing generating a lot of excitement on Broadway. And so Clyde's one of her success on Broadway, but she also has a musical. She's expanded her portfolio as an artist. She also has a popular play called Intimate Apparel, and she turned that into an opera with a score by rookie Ian Gordon. It's set at the turn of the last century. It's about a black seamstress who makes lingerie with a clientele that includes a Fifth Avenue patron and a prostitute. While yearning for love herself, Nottage wrote the play when she found a photograph of her great-grandmother shortly after her mother died while she was moving her grandmother to dementia care. So she's experiencing a lot of success on Broadway. And the final project of Nottage's trifecta, so to speak, is a musical featuring a back catalog of the late superstar Michael Jackson. She goes on to say that his music was her personal soundtrack, She says, I can track through all of my emotional life through Michael Jackson's songbook. And she says she was very excited to figure out a way to bring those songs to life. She and her collaborators decided to set the musical in the days before Jackson's enormous success in, of 1992, the album Dangerous World Tour. She says, I was interested, and she was wondering, how does someone who is the biggest star in the world endeavor to be an even bigger star and create something that's a reflection of who he is? So she's experiencing a lot of success right now with her productions. As I said, look out for her. Remember her name, Lynn Nottage. And she's wrapping up or completing now a triple play right in New York City. So look out for her. And she's, her name is becoming very, very popular in the circles of Broadway theater. And she's shaking it up a bit. I'm coming to you from the city of Cleveland, and you're listening to Talk Back Audio. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. By the way, I'm co-producer of a play production called Sugar the Stage Play here in the city of Cleveland. And Sugar, which I had mentioned a few years ago on previous tapings of our audio version. We do tape from the city of Cleveland, both the audio and the live version. And I've become a playwright. I mean, who knew, right? I've become a playwright, and we're actually in the beginning stages of auditions, and we are looking for experienced and non-experienced actors to try out for different roles in this production called Sugar, the stage play. And Sugar is the main character. It's an urban play set in the 1970s in the city of Chicago on the South Side. And Sugar, who is a young fella who gets caught up in the game — when I say the game, I mean the game of moving drugs. That's how he earns his living. His mother has passed on. His Aunt Seal is his only living relative. And his father, who he knew of but never knew intimately, is also in the play, which is Pastor Heaven Highway. And so Sugar is it's a story of redemption, and he really does find himself through this storytelling of this young man who is very good at what he does. He's a womanizer. He's a very intelligent young man, and he's very, very successful at running the game. But he has reflections on his life. He has reflections on his mother, and he comes to himself, so to speak, just like the prodigal son, and decides that he wants to better his life, and he knows there's something better out there for him. So it's a story of redemption. It's a story of reflection, and Sugar ultimately makes a decision to get out of the game and to become a productive citizen and do something better with his life. If you're an actor, experienced or non-experienced, give us a call at 216-394-8926. That's 216-394-8926. Give us a call. We're still in the audition phase of the production, and it will be premiering sometime later this year. We actually have not set a premiere date just yet. We're working on that, but we're trying to get the characters in place. The response has been tremendous here in the city of Cleveland from local actors. They have really responded very, very well. So look out for Sugar the Stage Play. You'll be hearing more and more about it. You will also, if you're locally here in the city of Cleveland, you will be seeing them come appearing on local TV here, and you will be hearing about it on local radio here in the city of Cleveland. So look out for Sugar, the stage play. And I'm terribly excited about it. I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am about it. And also nervous. I'm extremely nervous about it, because this is a arena that I've never done it before. I've always loved the theater. and things, but never actually produced my own play. So we are in partnership with Cash Team Productions, LLC, and they partnered, we decided to partner with us here in the city of Cleveland, and we are going to be bringing to you a very exciting, thrilling stage production called Sugar the Stage Play. 216-394-8926. Give us a call, 394-8926, area code 216, and we will certainly add you to the list for auditions. Check it out. Be sure, stay tuned on that. More information coming as we continue to bring you Talkback Live and Talkback Audio version. Okay, so we've been talking about the bustling New York Theater District and how it's back. Even in the midst of COVID, Broadway's back, and it's so exciting and just, it's so thrilling to be able to say it's back. Absolutely. So if you're living in the city of New York and you're listening to us, you already know how it's back. I'm sure you probably have already seen a production. There are many revival Broadway plays on Broadway and that have been brought back very, very recently. Moulin Rouge, for example, and also Hamilton, The Lion King, all of those have been revived on Broadway, and we're just thrilled about it. If you are a local business, please advertise, sponsor, considering sponsoring Talk Back with Gloria. You will not be disappointed. Our audience has expanded. By the way, we will be celebrating 3 full years in just a few short months. March of 2022 will mark our 3-year celebration of Talk Back. We started this 3 years ago, just about, and it has expanded. My audience has expanded beyond belief. We have women, great numbers of women listeners and men, and our age group is about, I would say, 55 plus, 54, 55 plus. Just the demographics are there. We do, it seems, our audience is an older audience, an older demographic. But guess what? They have the higher disposable income. So if you have a small business or you have a project that you like to advertise, consider sponsoring Talk Back with Gloria. Give us a call. Here again, 216-394-8926. That's 216-394-8926. And we'll be happy to go over our advertising package with you. It's very affordable. We make it very affordable for small businesses, and we make it affordable even if you have a large business, because sponsoring and partnering with Talk Back with Gloria is a good idea. Okay, it's a good idea. So I hope you're enjoying your cup of coffee, and if you ran out of you, that's all done. Go ahead, grab yourself another cup of coffee, because the second half of the show, what we want to do is we want to talk about none other than Mr. Sidney Poitier. We all have heard recently that Mr. Poitier did pass, and he died, I think it was January the 6th, here very, very recently, only about a little over a week ago. But Sidney Poitier made a footprint, a giant footprint, in the world of acting. Started out on the stage, and of course, and then got into films. And simply, no one else like Sidney Poitier, no one else like him, has come along since him, nor shall there ever be, I don't think, anyone like Sidney Poitier. He was born February 20th, 1927. He was a Bahamian American actor. He became not just an actor, but he was a film director. And he was the first Black person, the first Bahamian actor to win the Academy Award for Best Actor. And he was just, he was a force to be reckoned with. His, not only his stature, when he walked into a room, you felt his presence. He was tall, he was charismatic, and he had a smile that would win you over. from the first time you looked at him. And he had such a demeanor of confidence, and it wasn't a demure posture that he ever took that I never saw in him, but he was like a living statue, so to speak, if there is such a thing. I think he just exemplified that so much. His family lived in the Bahamas, where he was born, and I think he moved to Miami at the age of 15, and then he went on to move to New York City. He joined the American Negro Theater, and he landed what was considered a breakthrough role as a high school student in the film Blackboard Jungle. And then he also starred with Tony Curtis many, many years ago in a film. But when he first hit the Broadway stage, 1959, he starred in Porgy and Bess, which is one of my all-time favorites. 1961, let's fast forward to 1961. He appears in the blockbuster theater hit A Raisin in the Sun. And here is where I think he was taken notice, so to speak, when he appeared in Lorraine Hansberry, A Raisin in the Sun, 1961. It was a success beyond belief. Lorraine Hansberry, as many of you already know, acclaimed writer. And this was really the production that set her name off into the stratosphere as far as being a playwright. But his appearance in this play on Broadway, A Raisin in the Sun, was a breakthrough, so to speak, not just for Sidney, but for many other African-American stage actors to follow. He was mesmerizing. And A Raisin in the Sun, mesmerizing. He had a very emotional part in The Raisin in the Sun, and he plays the son of a woman who basically was just a caretaker and a maid for white people during that time. He had a wife, Ruby Dee, played that part, and she was phenomenal in that part. And he played a limousine driver who was just breaking at the seams to become more than what he was. He wanted to do other things. The father was deceased in the play, and the mother ends up getting an insurance check after the father dies. And here's where the emotion and the conflict comes in with this family, because he wants to use that money to open up a business, a liquor store, and his mother, who's a proud woman, wants to buy a home in the suburbs for the family and go forward, and of course do other things with it. But it's emotional. That play was probably the top 10 productions ever to play on Broadway, A Raisin in the Sun, no doubt about that. Sidney Poitier, he was a legend. He was a great actor. He went on to become a film director, even a diplomat. He was involved with social issues for most of his life here once he came over to America. Sidney Poitier, we're going to just get more into his life. He was the youngest of seven children, and like I said, he was from the Bahamas. He was a Bahamian and American actor, and at the age of 15, he was sent to Miami to live with his brother's large family, and he had some problems even at a young age when he experienced racism, and he just found it just a bit hard to adjust to it. So at 16, he went on, he moved to New York City, and he was interested even at a young age at becoming an actor. And he had a string of odd jobs. He was a dishwasher in the meantime. And he experienced some failure when he first attempted to audition for a role on the stage. His first audition, he was rejected with the American Negro Theater. And it was really due to his inability to read the script because he wasn't fluent. He had this huge accent. And it was pretty difficult for him to fluently read the script. There was an elderly Jewish waiter who took the time, sat with him every night for several weeks, helping him to improve his reading by using the newspaper. So it was difficult for Sidney Poitier to land or make his dream come true as an American actor, but he certainly went on to do just that. He starred in, there was a film called A Patch of Blue, which he didn't star in, but he appeared in 1965. So from then on, he just was insistent. He was determined to break ground in the world of film, and he did have some successful films starting in 1967. And guess what these films were built around? Race relations. Go figure. To Sir with Love, I'm sure you all remember that. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Here again, another race film about an African-American male who dates a Caucasian female, and eventually he gets an invitation to come to her home and meet her parents, and he gets an invite to come to dinner. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Huge success. To Sir with Love? Huge success. And also, I'm sure you remember, many of you remember, In the Heat of the Night, which later on won an Academy Award. He won an Academy Award for Best Picture that year for that film. He received Golden Globe Awards and numerous awards. I mean, he was the first African-American male to receive an Oscar. Fast forward to the 1970s, Poitier decided that he wanted to kind of move in a different direction and star, but not just star in, but also direct various comedy films. So many of you, I'm sure, remember Stir Crazy. Huge success. Richard also starred Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder, and Poitier actually started his directing. He made his directing debut with Stir Crazy in 1980. Very successful. We certainly are going to miss him. And I think it was only last year, January, that we lost Cicely Tyson. So, and by the way, you can go to our archives and pull up our story. It's also an audio version on the life and the times of Cicely Tyson. So it appears that now here in the year 22, in the month of January, we've lost another great African-American actor. And just, he was a social person. I mean, he was involved with social issues, much like his friends, his close friends, Harry Belafonte, even Cicely Tyson. And he wasn't just the one to just build a popular acting career. He also was involved in social issues, very, very, very much so. So Sidney Poitier, we will certainly miss him. And I advise you, if you haven't seen a film lately of Sidney Poitier, go in and find one of his older films and check it out. He starred in the 70s, as I was saying, about he wanted to do more comedy roles. And he starred with Bill Cosby with a number of films, comedic films, Uptown Saturday Night, Let's Do It Again. Those were very, very successful films. that he stirred in, and not so much, I don't know if, how much commercial success they experienced with Uptown Saturday Night and Let's Do It Again, but certainly in the urban area, they were smash. They were certainly big, big, big hits. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to pull one up out of the archive. Let's Do It Again, or even Uptown Saturday Night. Just great, great movie, great filming, great comedic roles in those films. And I would certainly recommend that you do the same if you're a Sidney Poitier fan. So he did die. He did die in his home in Los Angeles on January 6th at the age of 94. And it's just sad to lose another icon, another giant in so many realms. Not, as I said, not just in the film realm, but also he was a person who took up great social issues. He and his friend Harry Belafonte supported Martin Luther King during in the 1960s during his campaign for social justice. So he was very much in the forefront of social issues. Many of you might remember he became the first Black actor to win an Academy Award and for Best Actor in Lilies of the Field. He received Grammy Award, 2 Golden Globe Awards. He also received a British Academy Film Award. And he later in life received numerous honorees during his lifetime, including the Academy Honorary Award for his lifetime achievement in film. He received that award in 2001. So he received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1981. He received the Golden Globe Cecil B. DeMille Award in 2016. In 1995, Poitier received the Kennedy Center Honor in 2009. He was also awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Barack Obama. So he lived a full and an exciting, exciting life. He also was named an honorary Knight Commander of the Order of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth in 1974. In 1986, he gave the commencement address to the University of Miami graduating class and was given an honorary degree of Doctor of Fine Arts. His legacy will live on forever. Sidney Poitier, his legacy will live on forever. He left us on film and stage. He left us with so many gems that we can go back and pull up and just revisit over and over and over again. And I thank him personally. Never met Sidney Poitier. Boy, would that have been a true gem for me. But I have admired him from afar. Denzel Washington, many of you know the actor Denzel Washington and how he gave Poitier his flowers during a speech that he had when he won the Academy Award himself, and how he always looked to Poitier as the pure essence of class and dignity, and how he always wanted to, you know, just to be like Sidney Poitier. Who wouldn't want to be like Sidney Poitier? He was an influential African-American actor and highly regarded for his craft. No one did it better than Sidney Poitier. Believe me, no one did it better. He did write 3 autobiographies. He wrote This Life, that was published in 1980, and I think they've introduced his autobiography, The Measure of a Man, a spiritual autobiography, that was actually written in the year 2000, but I think it's been released now in the bookstores. So be sure and pick up a copy. I have to get my own copy. It's called The Measure of a Man, a spiritual autobiography. There's also an autobiography out there called Life Beyond Measure, Letters to My Great-Granddaughter, that appeared on the Oprah's Book Club, in the Oprah's Book Club section in 2008. So be sure and go and check those out. Sydney Poitier, what a gem, what a jewel. And Mr. Poitier, we certainly will miss him. Ending on his personal life, just a small note on his personal life. He was first married to a lady by the name of Juanita Hardy from April 29, 1950 until 1965. They lived in New York, upstate New York, Mount Vernon, and on a house on the Hudson River. And then in 1959, Poitier began a 9-year affair with actress Diane Carroll. Well, I think we've all heard about that. She was, he was one of her greatest loves. He married Joanna Simkus, a Canadian actress who starred with Poitier in The Lost Man in 1969. And they remained married for the rest of his life. He had 4 daughters with his first wife, Beverly. And he had 2 with his second wife. In addition to his 6 daughters, Poitier had 8 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. Well, there you have it. You've been listening to Talk Back with Glory. I certainly hope you've enjoyed the show this evening. We ran just a little bit over, but that's okay. I've enjoyed bringing the updated news on bustling New York City and Broadway. And of course, I've been thoroughly enjoyed bringing to you the life and the times of Mr. Sydney Poitier. Thank you for listening. Be sure if you're a business, be sure if you're an actor, actress, experienced or non-experienced, give us a call, 216-394-8926. That's 216-394-8926. Give us a call about sharing the stage play. Be happy to share updated information, give you an idea when we will be holding our second audition. And be sure if you're a business here locally in the city of Cleveland and you like to sponsor and partner here with us at Talk Back with Gloria, give us a call, 216-394-8926. Again, thank you for listening. Until next time, America.
You have been listening to Talk Back with My Grandma on Spotify. Be sure and catch her every weekend. Oh, and by the way, my name is Kari. Bye.